She had been a widow for 30 minutes, but she didn't know it. When the telephone began ringing at 7 o'clock that rainy evening, Patricia Bowden and her two children were in the bathroom. She was giving her six-month-old son, Jamil, a bath. Her four-year-old daughter, Urena, was helping by handing Pat whatever she asked for, soap, washcloth, towel, and telling her baby brother not to cry. Pat was on her knees beside the tub. Urena was standing. At the first ring, Pat told Urena to hold Jamil, then pulled herself up with a groan. She had put on a lot of weight in her first pregnancy and never lost it. Now at age 25, she was a tall, heavy woman who couldn't spring to her feet the way she could 6 years earlier when she was still a nurse's aide at Boston City Hospital. She grabbed a small towel, dried her hands as she took four steps down the hall, turned left into the kitchen, and picked up the wall phone. "Hello," she said in her effervescent manner, which must leave some telephone callers thinking she's a teenager. "Hello, is this the home of James Bowden?" asked an anxious female voice. "Yes," said Pat. "Who's this?" "This is Brigham Hospital. Are you related to Mr. Bowden?" Pat closed her eyes, squeezed the phone, took a deep breath, and promised herself not to alarm the kids. "What's happened to him?" she asked softly. "Well, are you related to Mr. Bowden?" Remembering the routine on the caller's end from her days at City Hospital, Pat said calmly, "Yes, he's my husband." "Well, Mrs. Bowden, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but your husband is here in the emergency ward, and I think you should come over here." "What happened to him?" There was a pause, and the hospital voice said, "He was shot." With her eyes still closed, Pat hung up the phone and flattened her palms on the wall to steady herself against the pounding shock that blurred everything and left her working on instinct. She doesn't remember dialing the phone, but it was suddenly in her hand again, and she was crying, "James got shot." "What?" her mother shrieked. "James got shot." "Oh, no." As she scrambled for her coat and her purse, Pat heard her mother's footsteps coming down the back stairs from her apartment in the freestanding wood-shingled house that Boston calls a three-decker. She came through the back door into the kitchen. The two women looked at each other. They said nothing. They were both crying. "Mommy," Urena called. Pat turned and charged down the hall and out the front door. Her mother dried her eyes and walked into the bathroom where she found Urena still holding Jamil. Urena didn't know what the commotion was about, but had heard her mother and grandmother crying and was now crying herself. Pat ran to Washington Street, the busiest street in Roxbury, Boston's black ghetto. She hailed a taxi. Though it couldn't have been more than 10 minutes, the ride to the hospital seemed to take forever. Pat didn't talk to the driver after telling him where she wanted to go. "I don't know what I was thinking during that ride," she says. "I wasn't thinking James was dead, but I don't know what else I was thinking. I was doing a lot of praying, I guess. When I got there, I just went inside, and a lot of nurses and doctors were standing right there. I told them I was Mrs. Bowden, and a nurse said, 'Come in.' So I went inside the emergency room, a typical emergency room, you know, and I saw James lying there. I think he was the only one there because he was, like, in the middle. It was a big room, and he was in the middle. He didn't have a T-shirt on or his shirt or his jacket or anything. He was bare-chested. The nurse was looking at me, and I was looking at James. His eyes were closed, so I looked at the nurse, and she starts shaking her head, 'No. I think I didn't pass out or anything. I just shook all over. Oh, it was terrible.' And I asked her, 'Is he dead?' I didn't even get it out, and she told me that he was. Then she took me away. Two other nurses helped me into a little room. It must have been someone's office. It seems like a lot of people were talking to me, but I couldn't hear anything. I was standing there. I could see mouths opening, but—" Pat does not remember speaking to the police at the hospital. She says she came out of her little daze when a nurse asked her if there was anyone she wanted to call. "I called my mother," Pat recalls. "I told her that James was dead, just like that. There was a silence, and then she hung up. I didn't know what else to say. I guess she didn't either. Then I just left that place. I didn't even sign anything. I walked right out on the street. When I was leaving, I met James's brother, Walter Lee Bowden. I told Walter Lee that James was dead, but he already knew.